Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good
Well, hello, 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 and we just want to thank you for joining us this evening on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is His Abounding Grace broadcast, and I am Vanessa Williams. Thank God that you're joining us. Tonight's message is going to be called Going the Distance. Just want to encourage you not to give up, okay? And we're going to be coming from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Before we go into the prayer, before we get into the message, always wanted to start to tell you a little bit about this segment of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We are so delighted and blessed that you are joining us again, and I really count it a privilege to be part of this wonderful network of brothers and sisters on this radio ministry. We expect people's lives to be changed in such a way that they're going to go out so that you will go out and help make a difference in someone else's life. The title of this segment, His Abounding Grace, was taken from Romans, the 5th chapter, and the 20th verse. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, His Abounding Grace is a marvelous gift. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we actually take it for granted. Don't you know that it's because of His grace that second chances exist? It is because of His grace that we are not consumed. It is because of His grace that the enemy is already defeated. So instead of using His grace as an opportunity to continue to sin, we should be continually praising God and worshiping God that through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, there much more abound. My prayer this evening is that you would be encouraged, that your relationship with God would be strengthened, and that if you don't have a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, my prayer, our prayer, is that this message will convict you and touch your heart in such a way that you would want to know Jesus for yourself. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you for a fresh anointing right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that ears will be open and hearts will be open to receive everything that you have for them right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that your word said when it goes forth, it will not return unto you void, that it will go out and accomplish that which you have purpose for it to accomplish. I thank you, Father, for giving us an opportunity to serve you one more time. And, Lord, we are reminded during these times that it's not about us, Father, but it's all about you. So we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, because you alone, Father, are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, the main text this evening, as I mentioned earlier, it's Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The first and second verse reads, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The second verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you see, the 12th chapter of Hebrews opens up, basically it's a continuation of the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter deals with the vision and endurance of faith. For you see, it's in the 11th chapter that the Bible talks about numerous Old Testament men and women who, through their faith in God, withstood much persecution. You see, these Old Testament brothers and sisters endured tremendous shame. They endured tremendous suffering, but through it all, they did not give up. One would say they went the distance. Sure, they had some obstacles. Sure, they had setbacks. Sure, there were some that decided to take matters into their own hands at one point or another, but they never gave up. They learned from their mistakes. They got up, and they went the distance. They endured until the end. And what about us? You see, our Old Testament brothers and sisters were not as privileged as we are today. Their time period was before the birth of Jesus, yet they persevered. The 11th chapter challenges us. It challenges us to go the distance by reminding us of what our Old Testament brothers and sisters went through by faith. We can read more and more about them in the Old Testament, but this chapter basically summarizes their trials and their triumphs. And so here we are in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, being reminded of these saints of old who are referred to as this great cloud of witnesses. You see, sometimes in the midst of life, in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our storms, something happens. Something happens. Stuff happens. And when stuff happens, we oftentimes take our focus off of God. We oftentimes take our focus off of his grace and his mercy. Sometimes we allow the enemy to trick us and we get tired. You see, when this time happens, we need a refreshing. I know I do. We need a boost. We need a reminder of the sustaining power of God and what he is able to do in spite of our circumstances, in spite of ourselves, in spite of what we think is or is not happening, in spite of the situation. So in this letter to the Hebrews, the author gives the readers a refresher, a reminder, a boost, words of encouragement not to give up. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We're going to talk about those weights in a little bit. And the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run. Yeah, you're going to get weary sometimes. But let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I'm here just to encourage you, just to share a few words of encouragement with you today, that if you will, kind of look at it like a refresher, a boost. I'm here to just tell you, hang on in there, my brother. Hang on in there. Sure, you're going to get weary. Hang on in there, my sister. Remember the power of God, the power of God. We need to turn our attention away from ourselves and turn it towards the one who is able to keep us, the one who is able to sustain us. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, not just ask, but think, according to the power that worketh in us. So I'm just here to remind you that he who promised is indeed well able to deliver us from every circumstance. I'm here to remind you that he who promised is indeed well able to deliver us from every illness, to stabilize us, to protect us from all danger, to even save us from ourselves. Did you hear that? To even save us from ourselves. I'm here to remind you, I'm here to encourage you, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. For those of us who are saved, for those who have accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we go off course, we need a refresher. We need a shaking up. We need a reminder of who he is. We need a reminder of what he's already done for us. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. We'll talk about that again in a little bit. I'm here to remind you that he stands ready to intercede on our behalf. I'm talking about Jesus. How many know Jesus is our intercessor? I'm here to remind you of his faithfulness. How many know that he's faithful and true? I'm here to remind you, to motivate you so that you can get back to the original determination that you once had, the determination that you had of going the distance. Jude, 1st chapter, in the 23rd and 24th verse says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, who are we talking about, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jesus we're talking about. What does faultless mean, blameless? We're talking about Jesus Christ and his faithfulness. You see, he not only keeps us from falling. I know you got that. He returns to the Father and justifies us. How does he justify us? With his blood. With his blood. He presents us faultless. That's he presents us blameless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We need to be reminded that we lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and then we can run with patience this race that is set before us. So what do we talk about? We talk about weights. Weights. W-E-I-G-H-T. These are things that may be harmless in themselves, but yet they can hinder our spiritual progress. Material possessions, if you put them before God, can become weights. Relationships, when we put them before God, can become weights. Sometimes we just need to stop, pause, and be brutally honest with ourselves. As Paul asked the Galatians in Galatians 5:7, he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Hindrances, weights. A weight is anything that's keeping you down, anything that's keeping you in bondage. A weight is anything that's keeping you from moving ahead and being all that you're supposed to be in Christ. A weight, anything that binds your heart and your mind so that your focus is not on all that is good and perfect. Let me say that again. Weight, anything that binds your heart and mind so that your focus is not on all that is good and perfect. You know those old weights that just keep hanging on? Regardless of where you go, regardless of what you do, they just seem to follow you and they keep dragging you down. The weights. Weights sometimes can be relationships that we allow to get in our way of serving God. If you need to say, ouch, it's okay, go right on ahead. But sometimes we allow people, relationships, to get in our way of serving God. Some of us know that we need to cut off certain relationships, but we just keep on letting those people hang around like leeches. They keep coming back. They keep coming back to get all that they can get, never giving, never satisfied with us, just leeching. That's a bad relationship. And some of us have relationships that would drain you, relationships that would make you weak and weary and burdened, so much so that you can't focus on God. You are so concerned about hurting somebody's feelings. Sometimes you're so concerned about hurting somebody's feelings that you're so concerned about what they may think of you. You're so concerned about what you may lose if you abandon that relationship. So you just allow that person, that he, that man or that woman, that girl or that boy to linger on. These are weights weighing you down. Just imagine, I want you to imagine this. And I always like to use a physical illustration to demonstrate a spiritual mindset, if you will. Okay, so I just want to say, just think about this for a minute. Imagine an Olympic runner at the starting line. He's about to run a race. He's about to run a race, and he starts filling his pockets with all sorts of heavy objects. I know it sounds ridiculous. Just stay with me for a minute. Won't these weights weigh him down and cause him to lose the race? Think about it. He's got a race to run. And this is how some of us allow bad relationships to tag on. Get this. If they're not for you, they are against you. Bad relationships. They're not watching you because they want to be like you. No, they're watching you because they want to see you fall. They want to say, gotcha. They want to say, I told you so. They want to say, I knew you wasn't no Christian anyway. Bad relationship. You know the ones when they see, when you see them coming, you want to go the other way. But something keeps you bonded to that person, you cringe and you think to yourself, why me? You try witnessing to them and they laugh at you. They ridicule you. But you keep on letting them sup at your table. This is when you should wipe the dust off your feet, pray for them that they truly come to repentance, they truly come to accept Jesus, and let them go. You keep allowing guilt to bind that relationship. Let them go. I don't know who I'm speaking to this evening, but if you're in a bad relationship, if you're in a relationship that's taking your focus off of God, let it go. Trust the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you if and when to break the ties. Be encouraged. While you are running this race that is set before you, there will be people that will attempt to get before you and your goal, which is your final destination. For after all, according to Revelation, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse, Satan goes to and fro, accusing you every day. But because Jesus has already paid the debt for your sin, you can be confident that Satan has no power. Still talking about those weights. Then not only the bad relationships, but get this, there are those old bad habits that you refuse to get rid of. Well, I've always done it this way. I don't see any harm in continuing to do it. That's insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and yet expecting a different result. Nothing changes. But you just can't seem to get ahead and you wonder why not. Wait. And then there are some of us who allow ourselves to be so burdened down with the cares of this world that we just don't seem to be able to cast our cares on Jesus. Wait. When we know the word of God tells us to cast our burdens on him, for he cares for us, those old weights. When you allow the enemy to bring condemnation to you and you begin to have a pity party, woe is me. Now, you see, God is not a God of condemnation. He's a God of conviction. But the enemy wants to bring your past before you. Negative thoughts, weights, they captivate your mind. When you know the word of God tells you to cast aside every imagination that is not of him. We know the word of God says to let this mind be in you, so that is also in Christ Jesus. But there you go, still hanging on to those weights. Anything that is not virtuous, anything that is not pure, thinking of anything that is not clean, anything that is not of a good report, anything that is simply not of God. Weights. Lay it aside and don't pick them up anymore. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Then the word of God tells us to lay aside every sin that so easily besets us. We know these sins. We all have them at one point or another. But here's a big one that finds its way into my messages most of the time. Can you guess what it is? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will weigh you down. Unforgiveness breeds resentment. Unforgiveness is a stronghold. Let it go. Resentment breeds hatred and bitterness. Let it go. Those sins that will rob you of any real joy and peace of mind. And the word of God is very clear concerning forgiving others. So what if you were right and he was wrong? Let it go. So what if she got that last word in? Let it go. So what if? But if, let it go. It's not worth it. Just as God has forgiven you, you must forgive others. But she keeps doing the same thing to me over and over again. Let it go. Perhaps she's a bad weight, bad relationship. But my brother promised he was going to come by and visit me. I've been so lonesome. My family does not visit me. Let it go. Pray for them. See, God's got us. But don't hold on to unforgiveness. Don't hold on to it. You've got to let it go, my brother. As Christians, we are in a race. That's a good thing. And this race has already been set before us. Yes, there is a prize at the end of this race. That should be incentive enough. So are you keeping your eyes on the prize? The prize is the promise, the end result. You see, God has promised us that if we remain faithful until the end, we will inherit eternal life. Are you faithful? Are you going the distance no matter what? Or are you allowing those weights and sins to hold you back? Are you going the distance? Are you allowing your faith in God to sustain you? Are you confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ? Philippians 1st chapter and the 6th verse. Is the life you live a great example of what a Christian's life should be? Is your life pleasing to God? Hebrews 11th chapter in the 6th verse says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a promise of God. So let me ask you this, my sister. Are the promises of God enough to keep you, or are you looking for something in someone else? Are you thriving on the promises of God, regardless of what the circumstances seem like? Are you going the distance no matter what? Are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not unto your own understanding? Are you acknowledging him in all your ways? Allow him to direct your path. When situations come up, is the word of God hidden in your heart so that you do not sin against him? Do you have a heart that's turned towards holiness? We're talking about going the distance. Are you striving? Are you seeking to purify your heart, to remove anything that's not allowing the word of God to be hidden there? Do you have a heart that's turned towards sanctification? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Again, is the word of God hidden in your heart? Have you made a commitment to go the distance regardless? When the race appears to get rough, and I know it's going to get rough sometimes. Trust me, I know from personal experience it's going to get rough sometimes. When the race appears to get rough, when you seem like you can't focus, you will need to call on scriptures that's going to remind you that it's already okay. Scriptures that will remind you that the battle is not yours, that it's the Lord. And guess what? He's already fought it. And not only did he fight it, he's already won it. Scriptures that will remind you that your help is already here, waiting and watching for you. Scriptures to encourage you, like Psalms 121, the first verse says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You see, there will be some times when you have to look into the mirror and encourage yourself. You may be looking for others to encourage you, but sometimes you got to shake yourself, get up, and look in that mirror and say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help, knowing your help comes from God who made the heavens and the earth. You see, he would not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep or slumber. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is the shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me. So you got to speak the word to yourself. Speak it out, okay? How many know that he is a preserver? He is a preserver. In a world such as the one that we're living in right now, if you don't put your trust in Jesus, who are you going to put your trust in? Who's going to protect you? If you don't put your trust in Jesus, who's going to sustain you? You can go the distance when you're fully persuaded that he would not suffer your foot to be moved. You can go the distance when you're fully persuaded that the Lord is indeed your keeper. Are you fully persuaded this evening that God is God and without him there is no other? Are you prepared to go the distance no matter what, no matter who else goes or doesn't go? Are you prepared to go the distance? Are you prepared because you know that you know that you know that he is your refuge, a very present help in a time of trouble? You see, my sister, if you were fully persuaded of who he is, if you were fully persuaded of who he is, you won't let nothing get in your way of serving him. My brother, if you're fully persuaded that your hope is in Jesus, your whole attitude will be one of hope, looking towards Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Yes, you see, I want to encourage you this evening. You can go the distance. You can go the distance because you're not alone. You're not alone. There's a rally cloud of witnesses that's rallying you on. You can go the distance because the Holy Spirit is a constant companion, a constant companion. You can go the distance because God is truly our preserver. You can go the distance because God is your protector. You can go the distance because God is a promise keeper. You know, your friends may make promises to you, and for whatever reasons, they can't keep them or they don't keep them, okay? And you've been disappointed, but guess what? God is a promise keeper. God would never disappoint you, okay? Get this. You can go the distance because the Holy Spirit is a cleansing agent. A cleansing agent, and you thought your washing powder was fantastic. You go to wash your clothes, and they look all dirty and dingy, and you put the best washing powder and bleach you could put in the water, and it comes out, and it's wow, awesome. But get this. His washing power is out of this world. His washing power is out of this world. We talk about cleansing agent. Are you allowing him to cleanse you today? Are you willing to allow him to cleanse you today? If you will, my brothers and sisters, he'll cleanse you real good. He'll purge you. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness and make a brand new creature out of you. My Bible says old things are passed away, and behold, all things will become new. It doesn't matter how many stains or blemishes you have from the past. Let me say that again. It does not matter how many stains and blemishes you had in the past. The very moment you ask God to forgive you, all those stains, all those blemishes, all those dirty marks are erased. They're gone. So, my friend, while you're running this race, stop looking behind you. Stop allowing your past to dictate your future. The past will slow you down or cause you to stumble. Go the distance. Look to the future, the race that is set before you, and with great expectation, declare the victory is already yours. Declare the victory is already yours. Yes, the race will get weary sometimes. Yes, the race will get hard sometimes. When the struggle seems to be bearing down on you, all you got to do is listen to the sweet presence, the sweet guidance of His Holy Spirit. You see, He won't steer you wrong. He'll keep you on the right path, you see. James 1, the first chapter of James in the second verse says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. And I want you to think about that for a minute. Pure joy. When you face trials of many kinds, you can say, sister, you must be out of your mind. I didn't say this. This is the word of God, okay? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. The third verse says, because you know that, get this, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. If you don't have a test, you got no testimony. You got no testimony. If you don't go through anything, how will you know? How will you know that God is your sustainer? The same God that took care of you last year, the same God that took care of you last week, the same God, dare say, that took care of you last night, it's the same God that stands ready right now. I want to give you an example of a personal testimony, if you allow me to, a personal testimony. You see, about 3 months ago, I think it was there in March, I had major foot surgery, and the pain was awful, I can tell you that. But I'll tell you, part of my recovery is physical therapy, and I'm still going through physical therapy. Physical therapy started off 3 times a week. Now, get this. The therapy didn't feel good. The therapy did not feel good. Sometimes it was hard, and sometimes it was painful. I had to be stretched. I had to be pulled. My foot was twisted, and my foot was turned. But they were telling me, my therapist, and I got some awesome therapists, they were telling me it was for my good. And I'm looking at them like, you got to be crazy. But they're saying, it's for your good. So I kept on going to therapy. Now it's down to 2 times a week. I'm still going there. I'm still working it out. They're still twisting and turning and doing all sorts of things to my foot because they're still telling me it's for my good. I'm getting stronger now. It's not as bad as it used to be. Each week it's better and better, okay? The pain felt bad, yes. The pain was horrible, yes. Even the therapy felt bad sometimes. But guess what? They will say sometimes, can you do just one more of this exercise? Can you do just one more? And I do one more. And it's like putting one foot in front of the other. It's like putting one foot in front of the other. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, just like that therapy, and I'm still going, but that's like trials and temptations that come into our lives. On this journey, on this race, we're going to have stuff. Stuff's going to happen. But you put one foot in front of the other. We can encourage each other. You can do this. You can make it. I want to encourage you to hang on in there. For the battle is really not yours. As I said before, it's God. And guess what? He knows all things about it. He cares for you. He loves you. And he said he would never, ever leave you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, to those who have been called according to his purpose. So just like the physical therapy doesn't always feel good, our trials and our tribulations, they don't feel good when we're going through. But God allows things to happen, you see. Going the distance is what I'm talking about right now. You see, when times get rough, do you truly take the time to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you? Or are you too busy taking care of your own business that you don't hear anything from the Spirit? How can you expect to go the distance? How can you expect to run this race with patience when you won't even take the time to listen to his sweet spirit? You see, oftentimes we get so busy, we think we know the best route to take. We think we know the best decisions to make. We think we know it all. And so we don't take time to listen to his voice. If we would only take the time to listen, we wouldn't go down the wrong road. If we would only take the time to yield to his precious Holy Spirit, we would experience peace even in the midst of turmoil. If you only took the time to listen to his voice, life would be so much easier. If you only took the time to listen to his voice, the instructions that he gives us, you could avoid a whole lot of mistakes, a whole lot of heartache, a whole lot of trouble. You see, God is so wonderful, my sister. He knows all about you. Isn't he much wiser than you are? He who made the eyes, can he not see? He who made the ears, can he not hear? He knows all. He sees all. And get this, he cares for all. Well, then, since he knows the end result, he knows which path will be the right one for you. So why don't you yield to his beautiful, sweet voice? We're talking about going the distance. Why do you think it's so much easier to try and figure things out on your own and then as a last resort, go to God and say, God, I need your help? How about seeking him first in all things? I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Listen to this example. It might sound crazy, but just listen to this. You keep going down the wrong path when all the signs are pointing in a different direction. So in the natural, how foolish would it be if, for example, we were traveling on a road to a particular destination and we came across several signs. One sign pointed east, and that sign said, stay on this road, and you'll end up at your destination. And then there were other signs pointing west that stated, if you follow these signs, you would end up around a bend, over a mountain cliff, down on a riverbank, at the bottom of the sea. I told you it might sound funny. Would there be any question which sign you would follow? Well, the signs for a successful race in this life, a race to the finish line, are all written down, but we don't often take the time to read them. We don't often take the time to follow them. What signs are you talking about, my sister? The signs. The directions have already been laid out for us in a very organized manner. They're contained in the greatest book of all. I'm talking about, yes, you got it, the Bible, the Word of God. And all we need to do is obey these directions. You see, he's given us everything we need to go the distance. When we fall into diverse temptations, there are directions to say, count it all joy. We just read that. When you struggle with which way to go, James, first chapter and 6th verse says, go to God and ask him for wisdom. He wants you to come to him. These are directions for life. When Jesus speaks, what does he find you doing? Are you continuing on the path you are traveling thinking you know best, or are your ears trained to hear the voice of God? When the storms of life are surrounding you, are you so caught up in the storm? I want you to get this. When the storms of life are surrounding you, are you so caught up in the storm that all you want is for God to remove the storm, or do you grab a hold of his peace that surpasses all understanding, and you allow his peace to surround you as you go through this storm? His peace is like a life preserver. It will preserve your mind. Do you take the time to say, Lord, even in this storm, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening? For you see, sometimes it may appear that God is asleep while you're going through, but how many know? My God never sleeps, and he never slumbers. He knows all things. He's an all-knowing God. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. All we need to do is ask him to embrace us with the spirit of peace. Grab a hold of his peace, even in the midst of storm. Even in the midst of storm. How many know that sometimes, just sometimes, God may want you to go through that storm so that you can come out victorious and have a testimony for somebody else? When he speaks, even the elements have to listen to him. What about you? When Jesus says, peace be still, the winds will cease. If you believe that God will keep you in perfect peace, if you keep your mind stayed on him, why are you despaired? Could it be that your mind is so filled with other things, ungodly things, that it's not on him? We talked about the mind earlier. John 16th chapter in the 33rd verse, these things, and this is Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How many know that he's a peacekeeper? He's a peacemaker. I'm talking about a true peacemaker. And he's already overcome the world. You see, Jesus is at the finish line, and he's rallying us on for so great a cloud of witnesses. All we need to do, according to his word in Hebrews 12 chapter, first verse, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run. Keep on running, my sister. Run with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Hebrews 12 chapter says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. We have everything we need to run this race. We can go the distance. I'm encouraging you tonight. You can go the distance. God has equipped you with everything you need to run this race. He doesn't just tell you what to do. He tells us how to do it with this blueprint, which is talking about the Bible. Ephesians 6 chapter and 10th verse says, finally, my brethren, finally, take a deep breath, finally, be strong in the Lord, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, God prepared us for this race, and with loving kindness, he said he would never leave us. When you are determined to go the distance, Isaiah 40 chapter 31st verse will become alive in you. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Thank you, Jesus. They shall run, they shall walk and not faint. While you are waiting, be expecting, so your strength will be renewed. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Run with a determined mind this race that is set before you. Run on. Don't get weary and don't look back. Press towards the mark. Keep your eyes on the prize. Go the distance. You can do it. You're not alone. You can do it. You can do it. Yes, sometimes you're going to get weary, and sometimes the tank may feel like it's almost on empty. But be encouraged, my brother. You just need a fresh anointing. You just need a fresh touch from heaven. So reach out and imagine, if you will, that you're touching the hem of his garment. Won't he make you clean inside? Won't he make you walk upright, knowing, trusting, and believing that your best days are still in front of you? Knowing, trusting, and believing that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, my brother. Knowing, trusting, and believing that God said it, that settles it. Don't go by your feelings, for feelings will fail you. Don't go by what you see, for your eyesight will fail you. Don't go by what others say or do, or what others don't say or don't do, for people will fail you. I'm here to remind you that there is a God whose eyes and ears are always in tune to us, watching out for us, caring for us, loving on us. Philippians 3rd chapter, 13th and the 14th verse says, brethren, and this is what I say to you also, I count not myself to be have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. So I want you to forget those things up behind, sister, and reach forth, okay, unto those things which are before you. Press toward the mark. Yes, you're going to have to press sometimes. Press toward the mark for the prize. What is this prize? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't look back. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. If you have to take a deep breath, take a deep breath, but press on. For the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus. When you get rid of that junk, that stuff that you need to replace with the good news, news of hope in life eternal, you'll be confident and you'll be strengthened to run this race that is set before you. You will be confident that you can go the distance. Go on the distance. Going the distance. I'm coming to a close, but I want to remind you. I want to remind someone tonight. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus went the distance. You see, he's at the finish line now. But let's go back in time. So would you close your eyes if you're able to? And if you're driving, I don't want you to close your eyes. But if you can, let's go back with me in time for a moment, okay? Can you see Jesus at the supper table with his disciples? Knowing one of them would betray him. Knowing one of them would deny him. Knowing most of them would forsake him. Yet, he bends down and he washes the feet. Jesus was determined to go the distance. Can you see him now?
Next, in the Garden of Gethsemane, with a few of his beloved disciples, he looks down at them as they sleep when they're supposed to be watching out. Can you see him now weeping greatly, huge sweat coming down his face when he's crying out to his Father, crying out to his Father? Can you see him kneeling down, crying out to his Father, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, thank you, Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He decided to keep on running. He decided to keep on going the distance. Can you see him? Can you see his face? Can you see him getting up off his knees after speaking to the Father? Can you see him with determination, with resolve, being obedient to the Father, being obedient to himself? Can you see him get up off his knees to face what he knew was about to happen, that he knew he was about to face torture and torment? Can you see him? Being betrayed by a kiss on the cheek by one of his own disciples, Judas, going the distance. Can you see him now telling another of his disciples to put away his sword, going the distance? Can you see him now, even as he replaces the ear on a soldier who was among those who captured him? He heals, yes, even his enemy, going the distance. Can you see my Savior being beaten, humiliated, mocked, and marched, spat on, ridiculed, all while he was going the distance? Can you see him headed towards that old rugged cross, knowing that no distance was too far to go for you and for me? Can you see him? Can you see him with Calvary's cross just in front of him, his flesh being torn from him, and yet can you see him chastised and bruised for our iniquity, going the distance? On that old rugged cross where he hung his head and died, my Savior went the distance for you and for me. No, he did not have to do it, but he did. He could have called legions. He could have called so many thousands of angels to come to him, his rescue, but he didn't. He did not. But guess what? It didn't end there. Now, can you see him? Ooh, they placed him in an unmarked tomb. But guess what? He went the distance, and he got up out of that tomb. I could hear him say, and you can say, oh, death, where is that sting? Oh, grave, where is that victory? Now, thank you, Jesus. Because he now lives, you can face tomorrow. Yes, you can go the distance, my sister. Because he now lives, my brother, your future is bright, and there is hope beyond the grave. Because he now lives, we have victory, and through Christ we can do anything. In summary, you can go the distance, my sister. You can go the distance, my brother, no matter what's happening. But if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. But stay encouraged. Be of good cheer. You're not in this race alone. Jesus said he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. From the start of the race to the finish line, until your destination is complete, he's right there, strengthening you, supporting you, rallying you. From the beginning to the end, he's right there, because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And all the saints of old are rallying you on. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You can run this race. You can run this race. You can go the distance because you don't go it alone. Now, I can't end without saying this. If you're not saved, today is your day. Today is the acceptable time of your salvation. Harden not your heart, for Jesus is calling all to repentance, a turning away from a life of sin and a turning towards a life of expectation, a turning towards Jesus, the only one who died for your sins. So if you're not saved, there's no way you can be saved except through God, except through Jesus. You see, God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to pay the penalty for our sins. So Jesus, who knew no sins, took upon himself the sins of the world and died on that old rugged cross, was buried, but death could not keep him in the grave. So because of his death, burial, and resurrection, you can have new life, my brother. You can be saved right now, wherever you are right now. You can be assured or going the distance. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth unto salvation. Again, there's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So are you saved? Are you born again? Have you made the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? For Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Be willing to turn from your sin, that's to repent, and believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he was buried, and he rose again. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then through prayer, and you can pray this prayer with me right now, but through prayer, the word of God lets us know in Romans 10:13, that whosoever, and I thank God, I'm a whosoever, what about you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. A simple prayer, but if you do it truly from your heart, with a repentant spirit, God will hear you. So if you truly want to accept Christ right now, repeat this prayer. Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from my sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior. My brother, my sister, if you did make that prayer of confession, you are truly my brother and sister. If you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, guess what? You have just begun a wonderful new life with him, and angels in heaven are rejoicing along with you right this very moment, right this very moment. So read your Bible. Get a good Bible if you don't have one. Read it every day to get to know him better. Talk to God in prayer every day, and find a local church where you can fellowship with other brothers and sisters and draw strength from each other, okay? Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that your word had gone forth, and as you promised, I know with full confidence that it's not returned to you empty-handed, that it's gone out and accomplished that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's heard your word. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that someone has been encouraged tonight, that they can keep on keeping on. I pray that someone has been encouraged, Lord God, through your word, Father, that they can run the distance, that they can go the distance because they don't go alone. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Father, for using me, Lord God, as your servant, Father. I thank you, Lord God. I give you all the honor, glory, and praise right now because you're worthy, so worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Now, before I go, I want to give you my email address. So especially those who have just accepted Christ, please, please email us at hisaboundinggraceforever@gmail.com. hisaboundinggrace4ever@gmail.com. And if you have a prayer request, please email us. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear from you. Be encouraged and know that the best is still yet to come. Amen.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Louis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time. Hey family, I want to introduce our newest broadcast that joined us in 2018, The Marriage Take Over the Body of One, hosted by Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. They will be addressing a wide range of topics that will serve to encourage you and to strengthen your marriage. So remember, that's every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, The Marriage Take Over Over the Body of One.
When Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry, we are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord.